Trib study group, and he has a number of personal resources as well. He has a weekly TV program called Your Future in Bible Prophecy on his channel TV network. He publishes a newsletter entitled The Prophetic Truth, and his ministry offers a number of materials such as books, DVDs, USBs, and so forth to aid in your understanding of Bible prophecy. And he is a content provider and serves as on the board of directors as of Blue Letter Bible Ministries. So please welcome Don and his wife Marie.
Well, saints, I greet you again in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I got a few little things I got to put together here. You know, I'm from San Diego. And we don't have this kind of heat. So I could feel it, let me tell you. Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be here. I never take for granted the opportunity to step in your pastor's place. Me and Andy, our paths cross a lot throughout the year. And we both are members of Pre-Trib Research Study Group, so I see him all the time. And again, it's a privilege. Before I open in prayer, I'm going to do what I did this morning. I'd like to mention some of the materials that we brought with us. We have a number of books and materials there that are designed to help you grow in your prophetic understanding. This is a wonderful book here by a colleague of mine, Dr. Ron Rose. It's called The Complete Reference Guide to Bible Prophecy. When Harvest House sent this book to me, I couldn't put it down. It was that good. Dr. Rose, he's a scholar, but he's a communicator. He bring it down to your level, and it's a wonderful study you may want to add to your library. Here's another one entitled Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation. This covers the entire Bible, and it covers every prophecy in the scriptures. A wonderful study, again, that you may want to add to your library. My colleague, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, has a new book entitled The Revelation Answer Book. He answered over 125 questions related to the book of Revelation. And I guarantee some of your questions are in this book and you'll find some answers. Again, Dr. Rose, one more time, this is the two bookends of Bible prophecy. It's called God's Prophetic Blueprint from Daniel and Revelation. Complete commentaries that will again help you and give you understanding. We have our series. It's called Understand the Book of Revelation. This is 24 DVDs, pack one, pack two, 71 TV programs covering the entire book of Revelation. It took us 2 years to complete the series. We're almost done now with Daniel, working on Daniel now. But we also offer this in a USB format. This is for your smart TVs, your laptops, anything with a USB, you can use this. But again, it's 71 30-minute programs covering the entire book of Revelation. Then we have what's called the twofers. This is two messages here, the rapture and the second coming. Today, we're going to look at the second coming of Christ, but I title it The Return of Jesus Christ to Planet Earth. We're going to see some amazing things here. But this is two messages there. We have the two realities, the reality of heaven, the reality of hell. We go in depth to look at hell and heaven from a biblical perspective. There's a lot in the Bible about both places, and you need to understand that. Then we have the two judgments. This morning in Sunday school, I looked at the judgment seat of Christ. So we have the two judgments here, the judgment seat of Christ and then the great white throne judgment. Two distinct judgments in prophecy, and we need to understand that. Then we have our Bible prophecy manual. It's a Bible, it's a user-friendly guide. It's designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. We cover a number of messages here. The second coming message is included in this one. We also have our dispensational chart. It's a chart of time. And again, I'll use that chart today to help you understand. I call it a roadmap to Bible prophecy. And again, it's designed to help you. Now, this shirt, you may have seen it out there. It's called Name Your Horse. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today as we look at this message. But every born-again believer will come back with Christ in the second coming. We will all ride white horses. So I've been preaching for years, Christian, name your horse. This is a wonderful evangelistic tool. People look at that shirt and they say, well, what do you mean, name your horse? Well, it's an opportunity to open up the gospel to them, the word of God. And you take them to Revelation 19, you show them the second coming of Christ, which is the message I'm about to give you now. And again, you have good perspective, and it'll open up a wonderful opportunity. And then also, Christian, name your horse. So we'll talk about that this morning. All right, we have our website. We've been online since 1995, www.according2prophecy.org. We've been online since 95. We have we're part of the social media platforms. We have a weekly program, as he shared, on his channel. We've been there about 8 years now, and it's a wonderful, wonderful network there. Our program is called Your Future in Bible Prophecy. Over 70 million viewers of that network, and you can go there. You got Roku. You can watch it on Roku, but it's a wonderful, wonderful network there. Now, last but not least, well, I got to mention this. We have our Alaska cruise, September 20 through 27. You still have time if you want to go with us. Myself, Tom Hughes, and Dr. J.B. Hickson will be the speakers for the seven-day cruise. It's going to be a prophetic cruise going to Alaska. Now, last but not least, we have our ministry app. You can scan the QR code here or at our table or go to any of the app platforms and just put in According to Prophecy Ministries, and then you see our logo there, and then you can download the app. We have a lot of material there. We're adding to it all the time. We have a video of the month every month. And again, it's designed to help you grow in your prophetic understanding. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the return of Jesus Christ to planet Earth. I want you to bow your hearts as we ask the Lord to bless his word. Father God, what a privilege it is, again, as we stand before you, the giver of life, the creator of it all. It's a privilege to be called a son of God. Father, it's a privilege today as we stand today before your people. Lord, I ask as we go into your word, I ask that you open the scriptures to our hearts. Let our hearts burn within us as you teach us your word. Father, let the word of God ignite and excite our hearts about the coming of our Savior. And Lord, help us to communicate a clear message of the return of Christ in the last days. Now, Lord, we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and I ask afresh, breathe upon this word today. We thank you and we love you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this picture. This is a picture of the second coming of Christ when Jesus Christ, our Savior, when he's coming back. He's coming back triumphant. And again, what's going to be amazing, he's going to come back and we, the saints, will literally ride with him, every one of us. And if you're afraid of a horse today, don't worry about it because you get your glorified body. You won't be afraid. That's going to be good. Now, look right there. That's Brother Perkins right there riding flank, man. Coming out with the Savior. It's going to be awesome. We're going to ride with Christ. Now, today we're going to look at the second coming. We're currently in what's called the church age. We're here. The next major event is that glorious event of the rapture. But we're going to focus today on the second coming, when Christ comes back at the end of the great tribulation period. And again, we're going to see some amazing things here. Now, the rapture of the church and the second coming are two distinct events in prophecy. Again, many people, they mix up the text, the teachings. I really believe it has created so many different views on the rapture because people mix the rapture and second coming text. These are two distinct events that will do many things that God want to accomplish in both of these events. And we're going to see that this morning. Now, you look at these world leaders. This is the Hazar Research and Analysis Center. They're looking at the axis of evil. And my question is this. In a world full of war, will there ever be peace on planet Earth? Now, if we look at the world situation, we would think that there is no hope. Well, I'm going to give you hope today because there is hope. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's coming back, and he is the remedy for a sick world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a sick world now. We're living in a world that's been contaminated by sin. Not only that, but sin has matured. It's getting worse and worse, as the scriptures say, right before his return. But we're going to see the true and only hope that can redeem mankind. Now, I'm a topical teacher. I like to give you topics. I always like to define my study. So we're going to look at what is the second coming of Christ. I'm going to define it. Then we'll look at promises of his physical return. Many people believe that Jesus will never, ever come back to planet Earth. Well, he has to, because the word has promised a literal return of Christ. We're going to see that. Then we're going to take a closer look at the second coming text. I'm going to read it again, and we'll go back to it. We're going to go in depth to bring out some wonderful truths. Then we'll look at the timing of this event, and this is important. We must understand the timing of this second coming of Christ. We'll also look at who are the armies that will come with him. We're going to see the armies that will come with Christ at this time. We're also going to look at where will this event take place. We're going to see, saints, that the second coming of Christ, it's a geographical coming. And I'll explain it when we get there. Where will this event take place? And then we'll look at the judgment of the sheep and goat nations. We're going to see when that's going to take place. And then we're going to close up looking at what are the differences between the second coming and the rapture of the church. When you understand the difference of both events, it will put it in proper perspective, and it removes confusion. So I want to start off with the text again in Revelation chapter 19, 11 through 16. John wrote, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Verse 13, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." I love that. Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Verse 16, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, I'm going to come back to this in a little bit, and we're going to do a deep dive and get some wonderful truths out of this. But this is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see Christ today in a different capacity. Now, I'm going to quote from the book by Dr. Charles Ryrie. It's called What You Need to Know About the Rapture. But listen to what he says in reference to the coming. He said, to the second coming, he said, "No wonder ordinary people are concerned about the world, its future, and their place in it. But who has the answers? Can anyone make truly accurate predictions? Politicians, fortune tellers, astrologers, futurists, columnists, preachers? Only the Bible has the answer. Only the Bible offers true and accurate prophecies." We're going to see that. He goes on to say, "It reveals that not until Jesus Christ returns to the earth will the world experience peace and safety, and that will happen under his government. The Bible also reveals that before Jesus Christ returns, times will become worse and worse, indeed worse than ever before." How many would agree the world is getting worse and worse? It's right on schedule, saints. Nothing has caught Father God off guard. You know, I live in the same world you live in. I watch the same news. I see the same bombs flying. I see the same treaties broken and all this. I watch it all. I see it all. I have to. I'm a preacher of prophecy. But guess what? Brother Perkins sleeps good every night. Saints, when I go down for the count, I'm out for the count. You know why? Because a sovereign God is in control. God has already given us the end of the story. And listen, we can rest in that. I'll tell you this, too. Nothing has caught him off guard. Nothing has caught him off guard. And again, we're going to see that as we go forward. Now, again, we're going to look at this point, dealing with the second coming. All of the signs of the times point to the second coming. Mark 13, Luke 21, Matthew 24 gives us the signs of the time. Paul in Timothy gave us perilous times. All of those signs point to the second coming. None of those signs point to the rapture. The rapture is a signless event. So all of the indicators we're seeing today point to the second coming of Christ. Now, if we're seeing signs that point to the second coming, then how close, my friend, is the rapture of the church? I believe it's closer than ever before. And again, we must allow Christ to use us while we have time. Now, what is the second coming of Christ? I'll give you a simple understanding and definition of it. The second coming of Jesus Christ will be his physical or literal return to planet Earth. He will at this time physically deliver the nation of Israel and the world from the oppression of Antichrist and his kingdom. This literal return of Jesus Christ will produce the cataclysmic event known as the Battle of Armageddon. He will at this time come to set up his millennial kingdom upon the earth. It's going to be an exciting time. Again, we're going to see it when Christ comes back. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, from his book, The King is Coming, said this. Now we come to the most spectacular and dramatic event that we could possibly imagine. An event yet to take place on planet Earth. Nothing akin to it has ever happened. In the past, nothing like it has ever happened a second time. I'm talking about the glorious return of Jesus Christ back to Earth. Since the rapture of the church will have already have taken place years before this, this event is the second stage of the coming of Jesus. This time, Jesus actually returns to this earth, and his arrival will in one way or another affect the entire population of the globe. We're going to see in a few minutes, saying that when Christ comes back in second coming, it will be a world changer. He's going to affect the world. He's going to change the whole situation of the world. He's coming back in a different capacity, and we're going to see that. We're going to see Jesus like we've never seen him before. Dr. Lutzer goes on to say this: some of the events associated with this glorious return will be shocking, especially for those who think of Jesus only in the terms of the gospel accounts, when he went about healing the sick and raising the dead and blessing the poor. In the dramatic events before us, we will see not only the love of Jesus, but the meticulous, listen to this, justice of Jesus. We will see Jesus not as Savior, but as Judge. Listen, saints, we're going to see Christ come back as a man of war. He won't be the passive lamb. You slap one cheek and he give you the other. Those days are over. When Christ comes back in second coming, he's no longer riding donkeys. The donkey days are over. He's coming back as king, ruler, potentate, head of state, prime minister, king of kings, lord of lords. He's coming back to change the world. And again, we're going to see that we will be a part of this glorious event. Again, I can't wait. I'm so excited about this. I can't wait. Now, promise of his physical return. There are many scriptures that must be fulfilled in order for us to get to the end of the story. Quoting here from Dr. John Walver in his book, Major Biblical Bible Prophecy, he said this: a major subject of the Bible, though the precise phrase, the second coming, does not occur in either Old or New Testament. Many passages bear witness to the fact that Christ, who came once to provide salvation, is coming again, coming the second time to rule. It's a different capacity here. He goes on to say, just as the first coming of Christ accomplished the major purpose of God to provide salvation, so the second coming of Christ will accomplish the major purpose of God to place everything in subjection to Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a prominent element of the reference to his second coming in both Old and New Testament. Again, saints, if Jesus does not physically come back to planet Earth, we must get rid of our Bible. We're going to see that he has been prophesied to physically come back. There are different cult groups out there. They will tell you in a minute, Jesus will never come back to planet Earth. Well, that's a lie of the devil, because the Bible gives us other things, and we're going to see that from Scripture. He must physically come back. Now, in light of that, the Bible talks about in the latter days that there would be scoffers. This picture here is from a movie. It was called Rapture Palooza. And I hope none of you watched this movie, because I couldn't watch it. Just the trailer alone was too blasphemous for me. But this 2013 movie depicted Jesus being accidentally shot out of the sky at his second coming by a laser beam. Then he and his horse are shown lying on the ground, smoldering. I saw that trailer. I could not believe it. The movie, you know, this kid, he's messing with, and then zing, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes out, he falls out of the sky, and then God appears as an Asian guy, and God said, "You killed my son." I said, "The devil's a liar." How many know Jesus will never be shot out of the sky? Let me tell you something. When Christ comes back in the second coming, he's coming back as a man of war. He's going to take full authority in the earth. But the Bible prophesied that in the latter days there would be scoffers and mockers who would mock the truth. So 2 Peter 3:3 through 5 says this: knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The Bible said these people are rejecting the second coming of Christ. The scripture said that these people are willingly ignorant. They don't want to know the truth. But whether they don't want to know it or not, it does not matter. He is coming back, and it's going to be truthful. The world, they like to mock the truth of the word of God. This movie was such a blasphemous movie. They show people and just all kind of things. But the world's going to attack truth. And again, it's a sign of where we are. So we're going to look now again at promises of our Savior's return. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 11, this is after Jesus spent time with his disciples. And then the Bible said they were at the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus, he ascended up into heaven. And the Bible said that they watched it. The disciples watched Jesus go up. They watched him until they couldn't see him no more. He vanished out of their sight. And the scripture says that they didn't notice that angels appeared around them. And look what the angels told these disciples, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The angels prophesied, as you physically saw Jesus go up into the heavens, he's going to physically come back. Not only physically come back, but he's going to come back to the same place where he left. They were at the Mount of Olives at this time when Jesus ascended. He physically went up, and guess what? He's going to physically come back. He must come back to fulfill prophecy. Look at this one. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 gives us another amazing revelation here. Verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Listen, saints, when Christ come back in the second coming, the Bible says every eye going to see him. I think technology is going to aid that. Every eye going to see him. Not only that, though, but the Bible says they're going to see him. But then it says the earth is going to wail because of it. The world is going to be wailing because of the return of Christ. It's not going to be a happy event for those who have rejected Christ. It's going to be a time of judgment. Jesus is coming back to take authority in the earth, and we're going to see it going forward. So the world is going to wail because of his return. Look at Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14:4 says this, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives where he left. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which is before Jerusalem on the east. So Jesus is coming back and his feet will touch the Mount Olivet when he returns. He must physically return. Look at this one, Matthew 24, verse 27. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus coming back, he must come back to fulfill prophecy. The Bible says that he will fulfill every jot and every tittle of the word of God. Without this coming, saints, we cannot get to the end of the story. So he must come back. Look at this next one. I love this one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter said this, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter said this, when we talk to you about Jesus coming, this is no fairy tale. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were with him. We saw the miracles he did. We saw the power of Christ. And listen, this is no fairy tale. He's coming back. This is no cunningly devised fable. He must come back. When they talked to him about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this next one here. I love this one. And this one, I really love this one. I'm going to pull it back first. We take communion. I love communion. And I'm a prophecy teacher. Now, I preach the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But a prophecy teacher can find prophecy all through the scriptures. So one day we're taking communion, that wonderful communion like we always did. And in the midst of the communion message, God gave me a second coming verse. Look at this. I love this. And you're going to know this verse. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, Paul said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes." You know, when I take communion now, it reminds me that he's coming. We do communion now until he comes. See, he's going to come. So now you take communion, you think about the coming of Christ. We're going to do this. We show forth his death till he comes. And again, saying we're going to be so exciting. We're going to be with him in that coming. It's going to be so beautiful, but he's been prophesied to come back physically. And again, we're going to see that going forward. Now, I'm going to take you back to the text that I read earlier. And we're going to take a closer look and give a closer understanding of the text. So I'm going to pull key things out of the text. We're in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. John wrote again, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." I love this because this horse rider is identified as faithful and true. In Revelation chapter 1, the Bible calls him the Faithful and True Witness. It identifies that this is none other than Jesus Christ. And it says, "And in righteousness doth he judge and make war." When Christ come back, he's coming back to make war. But the Bible says when he make war, it's going to be righteous. He's coming back with righteous indignation to judge a world that have rejected him. He's coming back at this time to dethrone the Antichrist and his kingdom and government. He's coming back as a man of war, but he's going to do it righteously. He's going to bring an end to the kingdom of the devil. And it's going to be amazing what's going to happen at his return. Look at this. Verse 12 says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire." This denotes judgment. When Christ comes back at this time, he's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's coming back to judge his enemies. Now, listen, saints, we're going to see here that Jesus is coming in a different capacity. He's not the sweet little Mary's baby no more. Those days are over. He's coming back as a conqueror, as a king, as a ruler. He's coming back to take full authority over the earth. And again, we're going to see that. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And I love this, saints, because, again, this identifies who he is. We're going to see the words going to tell us what his name is at this time. But he's coming back again as a man of war. Verse 13, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." Man, I love this. Jesus on that white horse is coming back as the Word of God incarnate. He's coming back physically to fulfill Bible prophecy. And again, we're going to see that. I love this. He's called the Word of God. Look at verse 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Again, we're going to see, I lightly touched part of the army, but there'll be two class of armies that will literally come back with Christ at this time. He's not coming back by himself. He's coming back with the troops. And we're going to see some amazing things as we look at that. Look at verse 15. The Bible says this, "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations." Again, saying this is not the rapture. This is second coming. He's coming back to smite, to judge. He's coming back to smite the nations. "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." That means he's going to take full authority in the earth. How many would agree with me that this world needs to be taken control of? I believe that, saints. I don't care who's in power. It doesn't matter. I mean, no leader will get the honor of bringing true peace to the world outside of Jesus Christ. The United Nations, it was formed to bring world peace, and they create nothing but chaos. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back and take full authority in the earth. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. There will not be a lasting peace until Messiah sits on the throne of his father David. So Christ is coming back to rule with the rod of iron. Listen to this. "And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This verse here gives reference to the Battle of Armageddon. You know, the Battle of Armageddon will be fought in the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo is going to be like a big old wine vat. And it's going to be like you put grapes in the wine vat, and then, you know how they used to do it? They used to smash the grapes, and then the blood of the grape would come out, and then they would make wine. Well, Armageddon's going to be just like that. But Jesus, in his second coming, he's going to tread the grapes. The grapes will be the wicked that will be gathered at that time. The Bible says here, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Jesus is going to smash the wicked grapes at this time. And we're going to see that in a little bit in Scripture. It's amazing here. Look at verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, since I love this so much, because here, this also alludes to the millennial kingdom, because he's coming back as King of Kings. But guess what? In the millennial kingdom, there will be kings and there will be lords. You know, King David will be in the millennium. He'll be one of the kings of the millennium. But Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what I love about it too, saints, that we that are redeemed and glorified and raptured, gone to the judgment seat of Christ, and then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we're going to mount up and come back with Christ, we will comprise the armies that's going to help Christ govern. It's going to be awesome. And again, we'll be a part of it. Now, let's go a little further. We're going to see some amazing things. Now, what is the timing of this event? This will happen at a specific time. People, again, mix the rapture and the second coming. These are two distinct events. Both will happen at different times. So we're going to look at this. I love this. The second coming of Jesus Christ will take place at the end of the Great Tribulation period. Matthew 24:29. Listen at this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Second coming is immediately after the tribulation. Not before, immediately after the tribulation. He's coming back at this time, and he's going to judge. Verse 30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now, we just read Revelation 1:7. It says the world shall wail at his coming. Now, Matthew says here that when Jesus comes back, all tribes of the earth will be in mourning. Why? Because Jesus is coming back to judge. He's coming back to take authority in there. He's going to shut some things down. He's going to close some governments. He's going to come back and set up his government. Look at this. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Listen, saints, we've never seen Christ in this capacity. He's coming back to take full authority in the earth. And again, I'm so excited that we'll be a part of it. Look at this. Mark 13:24. But in those days, after that, the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. He's come back with great power and great glory. It's going to be awesome. Look at this. The second coming of Christ, Jesus Christ is going to come back here, and he's coming back to a geographical location we're going to see in a few minutes here, but he's going to come literally to bring an end to the time of great tribulation. He's coming back to go into his millennial government where he will sit on the throne of David, fulfilling Isaiah 9:6-7. He must come back in order for us to get to the end of the story. And again, we see this. So all these things must happen as a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, one of my favorite parts of this message, who are the armies that will come back with him? I love this, saints. I love this. Well, the armies that are coming with Christ at this time will comprise the glorified saints and the angelic host of heaven. Again, Revelation 19:14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's going to be every one of us that have been raptured. Every one of us that are born again, we're going to come back with Christ. We're going to ride those white horses, man. It's going to be so good. You watch Brother Perkins, man. I'm going to come out of heaven. I'm going to be smooth, man. Coming out. My horse is going to be like a Tennessee Walker. He's going to be stepping, man. Oh, I'm coming. It's going to be pretty, man. I'm coming out of heaven, man. But look at this. He's coming back with the saints, the glorified saints. Look at this. I'm giving you some passages here. Jude 1:14 says this. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. This term 10,000 literally is an innumerable host of believers. We're going to come back with Christ. We're going to the marriage supper. We're going to have that great banquet of heaven in heaven. And once our food digests, Jesus said, load them up, boys. And we're going to ride out of heaven, coming out with Jesus. Every one of us will have a horse that you can name. Look at this next one. I love this next one. Zechariah 14:4. It says, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and how many saints? Come on, say it. How many? And all the saints with thee. When Christ comes back in the second coming, he's going to empty heaven of the redeemed. That's why I'm going to come out riding pretty with my horse. You know, I've already named my horse Sam. My horse is named Nelly. Yeah, really, Nelly. Every horse I've had as a kid was named Nelly, play horse named Nelly. I say, Nelly, it is. Now, people say, Nelly, Nelly, blind. Man, whoa, Nelly. I've heard every Nelly joke in the book. But as I travel and teach all over, I've had three other people that have named their horse Nelly. Let me tell you something. You're talking about a great opportunity to preach the gospel to a lost world. You know, name your horse. Give your horse a name. My wife, she named her horse Jubilee. I was in Canada early part of the year, and I taught a message there. And a young lady come to me. She said, Brother Perkins, she said, my brother has named his horse. She's a little bitty girl. I said, okay, sweetie, what is his name? She said, Bob. I said, okay, Bob it is. I've heard every name under the sun, thunder, lightning. Listen, saints, name your horse. You know, when you do that, it makes eternity, it makes it personal. It makes the second coming personal to you. And it's a great opportunity to witness. I'm going to give one more verse on the saints coming with Christ. Look at this next one. I love this one here. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul wrote, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with how many saints? With all his saints. We're going to come back with Jesus. Now, we're not coming back just aimlessly. We're coming back with purpose. We are coming back as his administration. Now, I must say something. When I first started studying this, I got a little sad because in the coming of Christ, I'm thinking as an army, that means that we're gonna fight. I mean, I want to fight, man. I want to rope-a-dope the Antichrist. I want to sting him. I want to buzz him, man. Bing, bing. We won't fight. We won't literally fight. We're coming back as an army to go into his government as his administration. We're going to help Christ govern the entire world. As the glorified saints, we no longer have the sin nature, and God's going to use us. Christ's going to use us as his administration scattered throughout the whole world to govern the world. The reason why he's going to use us to govern, because, again, we don't have the sin nature, and we glorify just like our Lord, and we'll judge the way Christ will judge during that time. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know where Christ is going to send me, but wherever he send me, Brother Perkins is going. And I'm going to do a good job, too, in the name of Jesus. Now, who will be the second part of this army? And again, the Bible is quite clear. He's not only coming with the saints, but he's also coming back with the angelic. Now, saints, you remember when Peter tried to deliver Jesus and he cut the high priest's servant's ear off, and Jesus touched the man and gave him his ear right back. He literally saved Peter's life for that. But he touched the man and gave him his ear back because Peter had gotten out of divine order. Peter tried to deliver Christ. Jesus said, Peter, put your sword away. Don't you know I can call a legion of angels? Peter, put your sword away. Peter, I must die for you. If I don't die for you, Peter, you're going to hell, Peter. And Jesus healed the man instantly and got back on prophetic script. Peter, you're trying to mess it up, man. Peter, sit on the side, Peter. Well, the Bible says he's coming back with angels. Now, at the time of the cross, he didn't need the angel because he came to die. But in the second coming, he's coming with the boys. It's going to be unbelievable. So look at this. I love this. Look at this. This is Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. The scripture says here, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So he's come back with the glorified saints, but he's also coming back with all of the angelic. And the reason why he's coming back with them, because they're going to do their war and their bidding in the lower heavens, the sky and the universe. They're going to come and shut down Satan's kingdom as well. They're going to take full authority when they come back with Christ. Christ's going to come back, literally, saints, to take full authority. It's going to be awesome. We'll be a part of it. Let me give you another verse. Look at this one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul wrote this. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So scripture is clear. Our Savior is coming back as a man of war. He's coming back with the glorified saints, but he's also coming back with the holy angels. And again, he's going to take full authority in the earth. This earth is not aimlessly going by itself. Again, nothing has caught Father God off guard. Everything from heaven's view is right on schedule. God see everything. Nothing's caught him off guard. Nothing. And again, we're going to see it going forward. Now, where would this event take place? Now, this is key because, again, people try to put the rapture at the end of the tribulation. You can't do that. It's totally different events. So where will this second coming event take place? We're going to see this. Zechariah chapter 14, 4 again. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. He's coming back geographically to the land of Israel. His feet will stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Revelation 16, 16 tells us this. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So as a result of the second coming, you're going to have the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon, we know it's going to be fought in the Valley of Megiddo. It's a geographical battle. You know, when Christ comes back, he's not coming back to the United States. He's not coming back to Canada, Zimbabwe, Russia. No, he's coming back geographically to the land of Israel. He's coming back to the Valley of Megiddo. And this valley is going to be a great wine vat that's going to be spread. And what's going to happen, the ungodly will be gathered like grapes for this event. So let's look now at Revelation chapter 19 again. The latter part of the verse says, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, is going to be like a wine vat where the wicked will be gathered. Now, the scripture is going to literally tell us this. Look at this. Revelation 14, verse 18. Revelation chapter 14, it's called a parenthetical chapter, meaning it's a chapter in parentheses. God has given us a little more information about what's going to happen in the events of the second coming. So look at this. Chapter 14, Revelation, verse number 18. John wrote, and another angel came from the altar, which had power over fire. And he cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. We're going to see that the grapes, the ungodly, they've come to full maturity now. They come to full ripeness. And God's going to have an angel thrust in his sickle to gather the vine of the earth. Look at verse number 19. John wrote, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. So the ungodly will be gathered like grapes on a vine. The angel he's going to harvest them and going to throw them into the Valley of Megiddo. They're going to be in this big old wine press. Well, people don't realize that the ungodly will literally be gathered by God. The scripture tells us one of the judgments dealing with the vile judgments. The Bible says when the angel releases one of the last vile judgments, the Bible says that there'll be three unclean spirits that will come out of the mouth of Satan, out of the mouth of the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And the Bible said that these unclean spirits will go throughout the whole world to gather the ungodly to the battle of Armageddon. The wicked will be supernaturally drawn and gathered to the battle of Armageddon. And when they are there, they're going to be cast and thrust into the valley of Megiddo, this great wine press of the wrath of God. And the Bible says Jesus is going to tread them. He's going to judge the armies of Antichrist. Look at verse 20. And the wine press was trodden without the city. This means that it's going to be outside of Jerusalem. When Jesus comes back in the second coming, he's gonna judge the wicked, but it's gonna be outside of Jerusalem. Listen at this. And the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Blood would come up to the horse's bridle. Listen, saints, the second coming is a different coming from the rapture. In the rapture, the Bible said we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. The scripture says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time for the redeemed if you're born again. But the second coming is going to bring woe to the world. It's going to bring wailing and mourning to the world. Why? Because Jesus is coming back in a different capacity. He's coming back as a man of war with fire in his eyes. He's going to judge the Antichrist and his armies and all those rebels who have rebelled against him. He's going to come and judge all of those people that have taken the mark of the beast during the time of tribulation. And they've rejected his love advance. He's coming back to judge the ungodly. Again, saying this is a different capacity. We've never seen Jesus like this. Now, the scripture goes on and it talks about when Christ comes back in the second coming, the nations of the world will be gathered before him. What he's going to do when he come back to set up his government, he's going to divide the nations. He's going to judge the sheep and goat nation. Now, I've heard people say, man, he's dividing the sheep and goats now. No, he's not. This is going to happen after the second coming. As Christ is about to go into his government, before that happens, he's going to separate the nations. The passage here in Matthew 25:46, it says this, and behold, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And the Bible said the sheep nations will be on his right side and the goat nations will be on his left side. The goat nations are rebels, are those that have rebelled, those who didn't accept him. Those goat nations will be judged instantly by Christ. And what's going to happen when Christ starts the millennial kingdom, he's going to start it with the sheep nations. I believe the sheep nation will be comprised of all born again believers who didn't die at the hand of Antichrist during the tribulation. It's going to be all born again believers going into the millennial kingdom. We do know based on scripture that the millennial kingdom will only have 1,000 year reign, 1,000 year time. And the reason why God put a time limit on that, because even though he's going to start the millennial kingdom with the righteous, those people there are still in their sin. They still have the sin nature in them. And when they have babies, their babies will still be born in sin. And guess what? Their offspring will have to receive Christ just like us today. What's going to happen during the millennial kingdom? The Bible said that God, he's going to cause men to live as long as a tree. The Bible says that he's going to change the nature of the beast during the millennial kingdom. But what's so exciting about this is that you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be born during the millennial kingdom. And these offsprings of the sheep nations will have to receive Christ just like them. And what's sad, though, that even though Christ would be there during the millennial kingdom, some people will not honor Christ. The Bible even tells us that some nations at the end of it will not come to bring glory to Christ. And the scripture says in Zechariah that Jesus will not allow rain to fall upon their land. This is during the millennial kingdom. But this is the offspring. But anyway, he's going to judge the nations and they're going to stand before him. From the book Understanding Biblical Prophecy, this is Dr. David Jeremiah. He said, because Jesus Christ will return to our world at the end of tribulation, he will return not as a merciful savior, but as our righteous king. He will re-enter our atmosphere, listen at this, with wrath and judgment and fury. See, we have never seen Christ in this capacity. we keep Jesus on the cross. He's no longer on the cross. That was a dispensation that he came and fulfilled. We keep him in the manger. He's no longer in the manger. We do honor that, and we recognize that at Christmas. But Christ right now is reigning. He's in heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's going to physically come back and govern the earth. But again, he's coming back in the second coming as a man of war to take authority in the earth. Now, Matthew 25:31 says this, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand." And again, this is a judgment that's going to take place at the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist gave a wonderful account here. And again, I love this because this is a message to the leaders and the judges of the world. This is a mercy word to the leaders of our world. This is a message all by itself. I don't have time to go through all of it, but I'm going to read this passage for you. Psalm 2:8-12. The psalmist wrote, God says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Verse 9, "Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." He said, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings." He said, "Be instructed, ye judges of the earth." He said, "I'm giving you some wisdom and some insight, leaders of the world." He said, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Listen at this, verse 12, "Kiss the Son," and I love capital S-O-N, "kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but for a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him." This is a warning to the leaders and the nations of the world. You better kiss the Son while there's hope, while there's time, because you don't want to face his wrath. When his wrath comes, many, many people are going to lose their lives. And it's going to be a direct result of the second coming of Christ. I'm saying one other thing, too. The battle of Armageddon, that battle is like a battle like none other. But the battle of Armageddon cannot happen without the second coming of Christ. You know, whenever bombs explode in Israel, you watch the tabloids and you watch the periodicals. They say Armageddon is here. Every time I read that, I said they don't understand Armageddon. Armageddon cannot happen without the second coming of Christ. You know, some Armageddon cannot happen without you as a born-again believer, riding your white horse coming out of the heavens in the second coming. Without us coming back with Christ in the second coming, Armageddon cannot happen. And again, don't let anybody confuse you on that. Now, we're almost done. We'll now look at the differences between the second coming and the rapture. Again, these are two distinct events in prophecy. And again, we must understand that. And we're going to see here. So beautiful. Here you have the second coming of Christ. And here you have the rapture. And as I just want to reiterate, this is the next major event that we are looking for as Christians. We're in the church age. We are looking for the glorious rapture of our Savior. We're going to be caught up to be with him. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. We go to the marriage supper, but then we come back with Christ. We go into his millennial government, during that time. So we're going to see the difference between both. But to start it off, I'm going to quote from this book by Finis Dake, dealing with the rapture and the second coming. And he's going to show the confusion that's been in the body of Christ. He said, "As a young Bible student, 18 years of age, I used to become confused by the average minister's preaching on the second coming and the rapture. He said, almost without exception, these persons would refer to the rapture and the second coming as the same event, using both terms interchangeably of the one coming of Christ, there being, as they suppose, two parts, two stages, and two phases of the one coming. They would point out the many signs of the second coming or rapture and tell how the tribulation and the seven-year reign of Antichrist would have to take place before the second coming or the rapture. Then make a plea for persons not ready for the event to meet at the altar for prayer immediately. The reason given for such urgency was that the rapture could take place that night, perhaps even before the people could get down to the altar. Now, when I first started studying prophecy, I was one of those guys that mixed the rapture and second coming text. The rapture is an imminent event, meaning it can happen at any moment, any time. There are no signs for it. But the second coming, there are a lot of things that must take place before the second coming. Now, Dr. Dakes goes on to say this. He says, I could never reconcile the conflicting statements that there should be a 7 year of tribulation and the reign of Antichrist before the coming of Christ. And yet it could happen tonight. What these teachers should have said was that the rapture and the second coming were two distinct subjects, the events being unrelated to each other, and that whereas the rapture could take place tonight, that's imminent, there's no signs for it, the second coming could not take place until after the tribulation and the last 7 years of the of this age, which would include the reign of Antichrist. It is still truth to teach that the rapture could take place now at any moment. As to the second advent or second coming, it must be understood that this event cannot take place until after the tribulation and the reign of Antichrist. In fact, all prophecies must be fulfilled in detail before the second coming of Christ. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you the differences between both events. Okay, I'm going to bring in a little diagram here. So at the second coming of Christ, Jesus will come back with the saints. That's all the glorified saints. We're going to come back with him. At the rapture, Jesus is coming to gather the saints. We will be gathered to be with him. We're going to meet him in the air. At the second coming, Jesus will touch the earth at that time. Zechariah 14:4. His feet will touch Mount Olivet. At the rapture, Jesus will not touch the earth. The Bible says we're going to meet him in the air. At the second coming, Jesus will come as a man of war. We've established that. He's come back with fire in his eyes to judge the rebels. At the rapture of the church, Jesus is coming to raise the righteous dead. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first at this wonderful time of the rapture. At the second coming will cause the battle of Armageddon to begin. This Revelation 19:17-21. This second coming will produce the battle of Armageddon. Now, at the rapture will cause the tribulation to begin. You know, the tribulation cannot begin as long as the church is here. We are holding back the time of tribulation. Now, I do believe that it's close. When I say that, because the events that we are seeing as signs that are coming to pass before us right now, these are signs and indicators that are pointing to the second coming. But the tribulation cannot happen as long as the church is here. We are not part of that prophecy because that's the last prophecy, the last 70 week of Daniel's prophecy toward the house of Israel. Lastly here, the second coming. The second coming will end the reign of Antichrist. Revelation 19:20, the Bible says the Antichrist will be taken alive from the Armageddon theater of war and will be cast alive into the lake of fire. You know, the Antichrist and false prophet, they won't even go before the white throne. God's going to take them straight from Armageddon to the lake of fire. At the rapture, though, the rapture will allow the reign of Antichrist to begin. As long as the church is here, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. So the rapture and second coming, these are two distinct events in prophecy. Both will accomplish different things in God's prophetic program. Now, I'm going to close it. I got 4 minutes to close it. I'm going to close it right here. Dr. Dave Reagan from his Lamplighter magazine said this: I see no biblical basis for combining the rapture and the second coming. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that the Lord's return will be in two stages. First, the rapture, and then the second coming. There is plenty of room to disagree about the timing of the rapture that is separate and apart from the second coming. I believe the best inference of the scripture is that the rapture will occur before the tribulation. And I believe that as well. Saints, we got some amazing things that is ahead of us. The second coming is so clear in scripture and what God's going to do. We see that. And again, it's going to be so exciting as we, the glorified saints, come back with Christ. When Jesus comes back in all his glory, come back in all his glory. It's going to be awesome. Jesus, come back, take authority. And again, that's Brother Perkins right there riding, man. I'll be riding. As I share, saints, name your horse. Name your horse. Whatever you want to call it. It don't matter. Just name him. You're going to ride that horse. Ladies said, Brother Perkins, I'm scared. I said, no, you won't be in your glorified. There's no fear in the glorified body. It's going to be exciting. So I want you to bow your hearts with me as we close this morning. Father God, what a privilege. What an honor it is, oh God. Lord, your word is so clear. Lord, you have so much that you've placed in the word for us as sons and daughters. Lord, help us to communicate a clear message to a lost world that don't know you. Lord, it is exciting to know the details that you've already placed in scriptures about the return of your son, Jesus Christ, with the saints and with the angelic. Lord, help us to communicate this to a lost world. Give us grace and boldness to challenge our friends and loved ones and people that come across our path that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Help us to challenge a lost world. Now, Lord, before I close this prayer this morning, I must make an appeal because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And Lord, someone may be here today that don't know you. And Lord, I want to challenge them to quit fighting, but accept him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Salvation is so easy. It's so free. All you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. On the sound of my voice as I close this prayer, if there's anyone here say, Brother Perkins, I'm not a Christian. I'm not born again. And this message has stirred me. I want to be one of them saints coming back with Jesus. I want to say to you, if you're not born again, you won't be riding back with him. You must be born again in order for that to happen. On the sound of my voice, you say, Brother Perkins, I'm not a Christian. Simply raise your hand and I will lead you in a simple prayer of salvation. Today, you can receive Jesus Christ. Today, your life can change. It's nothing you got to do on your own to fix it. You accept Christ and he will fix your life. Is there anyone before I close this prayer? Brother Perkins, I want to take you up on it. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Is there anyone? I'm not a Christian, but I want Jesus. I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Is there anyone today that would take this clarion call today and accept him? I want to say to you, quit fighting, quit debating with him, accept him. Is there anyone before I close this prayer? Is there anyone you want to accept Christ? Well, Lord, it appears we're here today with the saints of God. Lord, challenge us and use us in these latter days to reach a lost world. Lord, I thank you and I glorify you now. We give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good, saints? He's a good God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah.